This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Juan Williams. Last week, R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company started an advertising campaign in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The ads are for a cigarette called Eclipse. Reynolds says that the cigarette, quote, may present less of a risk of cancer, end quote. Eclipse looks like an ordinary cigarette, but it burns almost no tobacco, and it does not get shorter as it's smoked. It gives the smoker about the same amount of nicotine as a regular cigarette, but R.J. Reynolds claims the Eclipse releases lower amounts of chemicals that can damage the lungs, and it produces 80% less secondhand smoke. The American Cancer Society says there's no such thing as a safer cigarette, and the federal government's Department of Health and Human Services is expressing doubts about the scientific research behind R.J. Reynolds' claims. Eclipse has been test-marketed since 1996 in Tennessee, Nebraska, and Georgia as a cigarette that produces less smoke and no ashes. But the cigarette has not caught on with smokers. Now it will be advertised as a cigarette that is less of a health risk. And health advocates worry that it may discourage people from quitting smoking. So, if you are a smoker, would you try this cigarette? If you are one in one of the cities where it has been test marketed, have you tried it? Is there any reason to trust the cigarette company's claim that this is a safer product? Should the government encourage development of a cigarette that is less likely to cause cancer and other diseases? If you want to join the conversation, our number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. Joining me now are two representatives of R.J. Reynolds, Dave Iacco, Senior Vice President of Marketing, and J. Donald DeButhese, Vice President of Product Evaluation. They're both at member station WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome to Talk of the Nation, gentlemen.
Thank you, Juan.
Thanks, Juan.
Also with me is Dr. Dilip Ball, President-elect of the American Cancer Society. He joins us from the Capital Public Radio Station in Sacramento, California. Dr. DeButhese, let me ask you, can you explain for the listeners how Eclipse works? What's different about this cigarette?
Sure, Juan. The main thing about this cigarette is we have changed from primarily burning tobacco to primarily heating tobacco. And we use a high-purity carbon tip in the cigarette that you actually light with a match. And that heat generated from burning that carbon then heats the tobacco behind the carbon tip. The cigarette does not burn down, but it produces the volatile materials that come off of the tobacco, creating a smoke that's very different than other cigarettes. In fact, it's about 75% glycerin and water, whereas other cigarettes are about 80% tar. So we feel like this simplification of the smoke chemistry is the reason that the testing results in our toxicology test have been so striking.
How do you know when you're finished if it doesn't burn down?
Well, what we have found with the smokers is that they learn very quickly to look at the end of the cigarette, and the carbon tip glows red when it's being burned. And you can readily see that the red glow goes away and the smoke stops being coming out of the filter tip of the cigarette.
So what about the claims that the Eclipse is a safer cigarette? What are those based on?
Well, first of all, there is no safe cigarette, and we're not making any claim that this is a safe cigarette. What we are claiming, though, is that Eclipse may present smokers with less risk of cancer and certain other diseases, including chronic bronchitis and possibly emphysema. And from our striking test results, we found when we did both chemistry tests, biology and toxicology tests, and studies in smokers, that there were dramatic reductions in many of the things that we measure, including 80% lower levels of many of the carcinogens in smoke, carcinogens being those chemicals that can cause cancer. We also found that there were 90% fewer skin tumors in mice where we painted the smoke condensate on the backs of the mice. And we found that when smokers smoke this cigarette ad libitum, just walking around in their normal activities, we found a 70% reduction in exposure to mutagens, which are DNA-damaging chemicals. And then when we had at the University of Nebraska, when they studied the cigarette in smokers, they found a 46% reduction in bronchial inflammation.
Well, that's quite a drop. I'm thinking to myself, though, this cigarette actually has been around for a while. I believe you first introduced it in 94, but it certainly has been marketed, I think, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Lincoln, Nebraska, in around the Atlanta, Georgia area, and it has not caught on. At that time, it was marketed, advertised as a cigarette that produced less ash and less smoke, secondhand smoke. But smokers didn't take to it. Now that you advertise it as possibly safer than other cigarettes, I guess you imagine somehow smokers will be drawn to it. Am I right?
Well, what we have found over throughout extensive testing over the years, we've accumulated a weight of the evidence that would suggest that that Eclipse may present the smoker with less risk for cancer. And as and once we got that information, it became very important for us to communicate that to smokers. So we have on our website put together all of the scientific information. We've published over 11 scientific papers in peer-reviewed journals describing these results. And we think it's important to communicate that. And maybe Dave Iacocca could comment on the marketing piece of that.
All right,
yes, please. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, you mentioned that it has not caught on in our previous test markets, and that is true. What we have found is Eclipse is somewhat different in terms of its smoking qualities than other cigarettes. It takes some getting used to. And we have found that smokers that make an effort and decide that they'd like to switch to Eclipse, after about a carton or about a week of using Eclipse exclusively, they find that they adjust to it. And in fact, many tell us that they would never go back to the cigarettes that they were smoking before once they get used to Eclipse's unique smoking characteristics. For example, you mentioned earlier, it doesn't burn down, and it takes some getting used to know when it's about done. It doesn't produce ashes, so the typical response of flicking ashes that many smokers become very accustomed to, they have to, if you will, unlearn. Of course, like any cigarette, it tastes. Each cigarette tastes a little bit different, and Eclipse is no exception to that. So the taste is something to get used to as well.
Well, let me ask you, what happens if someone subsequently says, you know, I smoked Eclipse and then I got sick, I got cancer, I got something else? Wouldn't that expose you to terrific libel claims to have now said, well, we think this is a safer cigarette?
We are not saying that it's a safer cigarette. I think that's important that when you look at our marketing materials, what we are telling smokers is that and I'll quote the headline from our ads, the best choice for smokers who worry about their health is to quit. And we are simply saying that Eclipse may be the next best choice. We are clearly communicating with smokers that this is not a cigarette for people who want to avoid the risks of smoking, that no cigarette is without risk, including Eclipse. And it's not for people that want to quit. If you want to quit smoking, you should quit smoking. But we are comparing Eclipse to other cigarettes on the market. And our claims that Eclipse may present less risk of cancer, chronic bronchitis, and possibly emphysema are well documented in the science that Don talked about.
You know, Mr. Iacocca, though, one thing kind of slipped my mind. You are saying it's safer than other cigarettes. Is that what you're saying? I thought that was the claim.
We're saying that it may present less risk than other cigarettes. We prefer to say it that way.
Oh, okay.
To make it perfectly clear what we are saying.
All right.
One can interpret it that way, but I just wanted to make it very clear how we were expressing the claims about Eclipse.
Let me go now to Dr. Dilip Ball. Dr. Ball, you're the president-elect of the American Cancer Society, and I wanted to ask you if you consider Eclipse to be a cigarette or simply a nicotine delivery device.
I am absolutely astounded by the fact that they're pulling something like this. It's the tobacco industry in general and RJR's history of deception. For years, you look at the Minnesota documents, you'll find that absent FDA's oversight, RJR clearly feels that they're free to make unsubstantiated claims. Of the material sent to me, there's absolutely nothing that can substantiate the claim that they've put out in their materials. They've just unilaterally decided which studies and to do and how to do them. We don't know what they are. We asked for the studies. We were told that the studies aren't available because they've given them in for peer-reviewed publication. Mr. Williams, let me give you a quote. I mean, we've been up this road so many times. Let me give you a quote from, and I'm going to quote throughout the show, just RJR's own people, words out of their own mouth over the last 10, 20 years. This is an ex-industry scientist. He's a former scientist for RJ Reynolds. His name is Anthony Colucci. And what Dr. Colucci says, quote, is, I'm a scientist who says it's about time they quit this charade. I'm sick and tired of the way they distort and ignore the science. It's time for them to tell the truth. They had a responsibility early on to tell what their own researchers were finding out. Instead, they ignored it and made a mockery of it. I think it's time for the tobacco industry to say, this stuff kills people.
But Dr. Ball, are we talking
about...
Smoke
at your own risk.
Dr. Ball, are we talking about the eclipse or are we talking about cigarettes generally?
We're talking about the credibility of the people who are putting this out. Their credibility is nothing. They find that they've created a new product that doesn't seem to sell, and therefore they've got their marketing people in, their lawyers in, to say how close can they come to the edge to making claims that you asked a tremendous question. So what happens if some chap gets cancer and comes after them later on, said, you guys said that reduce the risk for me. And the reply you got was, well, we're not making any such claims. And you turned right around and told them, but you certainly seem to based on the information you're putting out. And I read their information the same way you do.
I'd like to respond to that, if I may.
Fine. Is this Mr. Iacco?
Yes.
Please do.
Well, there are a lot of accusations there. I mean, we could spend this whole program talking about documents that are 10, 20, 50 years old, and I don't think that's what we're here to do. First of all, the statement was made that there is absolutely no substantiation for the claims that were made. That simply is not true.
You have independent scientists who have looked at this.
Yes, we have. We have impaneled a panel of experts, scientists, that have reviewed all of our science, and they reach conclusions that are very consistent with the claims that we're making. I would also point out that that the FTC holds us accountable for any claims that we make in our advertising. And we have an obligation to substantiate any claims to the FTC, and we're prepared to do that. We believe that our science holds up. And the statement that was made that that our science is not available for review is absolutely false. First of all, we, as part of this effort, have published a website that is free for anyone over the age of 21 to visit. They can review a lengthy list of dozens of studies that we have done on eclipse. They're all there, the abstracts, the citations to many of them are peer-reviewed studies. That information is out there. And plus, I would point out that we have shared this information with the FDA, with the Centers for Disease Control, and we'll share it with any public health group that that is interested in learning about the science that we have completed on eclipse.
All right.
So,
we're going to take a short break right now, Mr. Iacco. There'll be more to discuss when we return. You're listening to Talk of the Nation. I'm Juan Williams. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the experimental cigarette called Eclipse, and we'll begin taking your calls at 800-989-8255. If you'd like to comment on the program, please do. Send us a letter to Talk of the Nation, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., the zip code 20001. The email address is totn@npr.org. Please include your name and where you're writing from. At 21 minutes past the hour, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Welcome back to Talk of the Nation. I'm Juan Williams. Today we're talking about whether a new cigarette called Eclipse may be less likely to cause cancer and other diseases in smokers, and whether and how it should be regulated by the government. My guests are Dave Iacco, Senior Vice President of Marketing, and also J. Donald DePethese, who is the Vice President of Product Evaluation. Both are at R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. Also with me, Dr. Dilip Ball, President-elect of the American Cancer Society. If you want to join the conversation, our number here is 1-800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. I wanted to go back to you, Mr. Iacco. You said that, in fact, these reports are available to everyone. But Dr. Ball said that he couldn't get a copy.
Well, I don't...
Do you have the basis? Do you have a randomized clinical trial? What technical evidence do you have? Not the PR stuff you put on your website. I want to know, what do you have that you can submit? I do reviews for the Journal of the American Medical Association. Show me a piece of paper that you guys put out. I do reviews for the journal Cancer. Show me what peer-reviewed stuff you have out there that people
Dr.
can
Ball?
Look and say, this is science and this is not PR masquerading as science.
Dr. Ball, this is Don DePethese. We've published 11 manuscripts in peer-reviewed journals. There are three papers in the Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology that I would point you toward because they cover both the chemistry and the biology testing that we did. In addition, I would point you towards Dr. Stephen Renard's work at the University of Nebraska Medical Center, who did the bronchial alveolar lavage work, as well as the bronchitis index work that he has published in abstract form, and I'm aware that he has been submitting that paper to journals to be published. He has some interviews that are on their website at the University of Nebraska. So there is a great deal of published work out there. We've been developing the product like this for 10 years, publishing along the way. What we keep running into is sort of a narrow approach to public health in that there's been a large debate going on about whether reduced-risk cigarettes should be allowed on the market. And we have been interacting with the tobacco control community over this. There's a small group of scientists who have started thinking about this as a alternative, one of many approaches. We have, you know, there's prevention of smoking, there's cessation of smoking. Those are important characteristics, as well as education. But we feel that there's also room for products that have the potential to reduce risk. 45 million Americans.
Please, Dr. Ball, let me just say as before you respond,
right.
It is said here in the documents that I have that the smoke in the Eclipse is 75% water and glycerin, only 25% tar and nicotine, and in most cigarettes it's 80% tar and nicotine. In addition to which, R.J. Reynolds is claiming that Eclipse contains 80% lower levels of the carcinogens that are in regular tobacco smokes and produce 90% fewer skin tumors in mice and 70% less of the mutagens or chemicals that make damage DNA in smokers, so therefore reducing bronchial inflammation and inflammation of the lungs. Would that be convincing to you in any way, Dr. Ball?
Not even slightly, and I'll tell you why. Scientists dispute that the lower level of tar and chemicals per se will result in lower health risk. The issue is not how much you get in terms of tar and chemicals. The issue is what is delivered to the lung. For instance, you can have cancers lower, much lower in the lung at the same frequency because you take bigger and deeper and more frequent puffs. And I understand in the Eclipse tests, they have shown that also. RJR has shown that you have to breathe deeper, you have to inhale deeper. As a result, rather than causing lesser cancers, as they found in their low-tar cigarettes, they found the cancers occur deeper in the lung. Let me again say very clearly, and Dr. DePethese should know this, publishing stuff in obscure journals, not medical journals, obscure chemical journals is different than publishing them in acknowledged, peer-reviewed medical journals. Dr. DePethese should know, or he certainly, I hope he should know, that the litmus test before you can go and say there is reduced risk is something known as a randomized clinical trial. You have Group X, you give them the exposure of interest. Group Y is a control group. They have nothing even remotely approaching that. Do you have any randomized clinical trial, Dr. DeBasisi?
Well, before we get back and forth into this, I think we have both of your positions pretty clearly staked out. So let's take a call from Nell in Barberton, Ohio. Nell, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi. I hope God breaks nicotine and alcohol and uric acid chains in everyone's lives. I pray that, since the suffocation sensation from emphysema and lung cancer is much more long-lasting than that for a fish on a hook. My question is about glycerin. Dr. Sam Epstein testified before Congress that inhalable carcinogens are much more lethal than ingestible carcinogens. For instance, the benzopyrene in a charcoal broiled steak is lethal, but inhaling the smoke is even worse. We know that glycerin, which you say is in the Eclipse cigarette, is high at the top of the food chain in insecticides, hormones, preservatives, and every other toxin that ends up in the fat of the animal. And so I would just ask you if you have done any research on the toxic nature of smoking, literally, animal fat. And finally, Dr. Ball, I hope the American Cancer Society does more on the major cause of cancer in the United States, which is meat, fish, and dairy consumption.
Thanks for your call, Nell. Let me ask Dr. DeBasisi how he would respond to the question about glycerin.
Glycerin is added to Eclipse to form the aerosol to carry the natural and added flavors that are released by heating the tobacco. Mm-hmm. And glycerin is added to tobacco of most cigarettes on the market today. And glycerin, or as it's chemically known as glycerol, occurs extensively in nature and is a neutral, colorless, syrupy liquid that has a sweet taste. And it's found in plant cells, animal cells, and human cells. It's used in baked goods, fats and oils, milk products, as well as other medicinal drugs and cosmetics. So it's a very commonly used product. It's been used in tobacco for years. And what we have found in testing pure glycerin, that it does not produce any toxic changes in animals in the animal tests. We feel like it's a safe material to add to tobacco and use. It allows us to dilute the tobacco smoke dramatically. In fact, we have shifted the smoke composition from 80% tar, which produces tumors in animal models, to 20% tar, which is a very dramatic reduction. When people smoke the cigarette, they have a 70% reduction in the mutagens. Now, all of these papers have been published in peer-reviewed journals. Our expert panel that looked at these data came to the conclusion that Eclipse does present less risk for cancer. And this panel consisted of 9 very reputable MDs and PhDs who were outside the tobacco industry. In fact, it was chaired by Dr. Bernard Wagner, who is emeritus research professor at New York University Medical Center.
All right.
And a former member of the Committee on Toxicology at the National Academy of Sciences.
Well, joining me now from her office here in Washington is Secretary of Health and Human Services, Donna Shalala. Welcome to the program, Ms. Shalala.
Thank you very much.
Secretary Shalala, you've expressed some skepticism about this new product, Eclipse, and whether it represents a, quote, safe or unquote cigarette. Why are you dubious about the claim?
Well, first of all, because we're talking about the tobacco industry, which has before not given us a lot of reason to believe their credibility on this issue. And second, because we really don't have an outside review of this product, whether it's a cigarette or a drug delivery device, a nicotine delivery device, no one has come to a final conclusion on that. What we do know is that it still has significant risk in it as long as nicotine is being delivered. And from what I've read, they're claiming that it may reduce the amount of risk for lung cancer, but they're inconclusive about heart disease, which means this is still a dangerous product. And so I think that those who are thinking about purchasing or ought to be very skeptical about any claims made by the industry itself.
Secretary Shalala, I wonder if you think that given the fact that a number of people, for example, my wife, is having trouble stopping smoking despite attempts, patches, and everything else over the years, if it, the idea of developing a safer cigarette might not be a good thing?
You know, I it would be inappropriate for me to be supportive of something called a safer cigarette because I don't know what that actually means. I am totally sympathetic with your wife. I was a smoker myself. It is very difficult to stop. Thousands of people do every year, but I couldn't be more sympathetic about how difficult it is once you're addicted. I think of myself as an addict. I can never pick up a cigarette again, and it's difficult to stop. Many people who do stop still want a cigarette years later, so there are very different programs depending on individuals, and I would just urge her to keep trying to stop because it'll make all the difference in her life.
You know, last month it was the Supreme Court that said that the Food and Drug Administration didn't have the right to regulate tobacco. If the Eclipse is a cigarette, and do you consider the Eclipse a cigarette?
I do not at this moment. I mean, I'd have to have the FDA take a very careful look at it. So I would not describe Eclipse as a cigarette.
So if it's something other than a cigarette, wouldn't that mean that it can be regulated?
It would certainly, it certainly would have significant regulatory implications in light of the Supreme Court decision. But, you know, it would be inappropriate for me to come to that conclusion. It would have to be the FDA and obviously the government lawyers which would review that. The most important thing the Supreme Court said, though, was that nicotine is dangerous and perhaps the most serious public health risk we have in our society. And while we were disappointed by that decision, our hope is that Congress will move on legislation that will allow us to regulate access to cigarettes and to make sure that young people don't have access and aren't influenced by the cigarette industry to smoke cigarettes, and that we really do have regulatory authority over over nicotine.
Well, what are you going to do about the advertising in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where, you know, I mean, the R.J. Reynolds is pretty straight up. I mean, they say the best choice for smokers who worry about their health is to quit, but then the next best choice, and then they introduce Eclipse. Now, would you have problems with that kind of advertising?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, senior health officials ought to speak out on anything that claims, that makes health claims about something that has not been independently evaluated and hasn't gone through this, a set of scientific reviews that we think is obviously necessary. But as of now, you know, we clearly need to look at this and to look at it in terms of whether it is in fact a nicotine delivery device as opposed to the claims of the industry that this is a cigarette.
So you don't have any information to support or contradict the idea that they say in their ad?
We have enough experience on this issue to raise serious doubts in the minds of anyone. Anyone who's thinking that there's such a thing as a safe cigarette out there or a safe nicotine delivery device ought to be they ought to be very skeptical about claims by the industry itself. The industry clearly has no credibility in this area.
Well, Donna Shalala, Secretary of Health and Human Services, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Ms. Shalala spoke to us from her Washington office. I'm Juan Williams. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Dr. Ball, let me ask you if you find any disagreement with what Ms. Shalala said. It sounds to me like she agrees with you fully.
You know, Mr. Williams, her last comment was as telling as her first one, and that is the issue in terms, absent the availability of the scientific data that scientists can review, the issue is the credibility of the industry. She said it very well. Let me give you very quickly just one other instance, not long ago, not a fairly recent instance, of the industry's position on nicotine and its addictive properties. The U.S. Surgeon General about 10 years ago said very clearly that it's as addictive as heroin and cocaine. The industry had their Tobacco Institute say that, quote, claims that cigarettes are addictive contradict common sense, an escalation of anti-smoking rhetoric without medical or scientific foundation, unquote. coming specifically to R.J. Reynolds. Their chief executive at the time, in 1994, under oath in the Congressional Health and Environmental Subcommittee, Congressman Waxman's committee, the CEO of R.J. Reynolds, Mr. Johnston, said, quote, "And I, too, believe that nicotine is not addictive." In that same year, Ross Johnson, ex-chief executive of R.J. Reynolds, is asked by the Wall Street Journal whether nicotine is addictive. Same year, Mr. Williams. And he says, quote, "Of course it's addictive. That's why you smoke the stuff." Unquote.
Well, I understand.
Secretary Shalala's skepticism of these guys' credibility, it's based on an immense, vast body of information.
Mr. Iacco,
yes.
Given all these attacks on your credibility, how do you respond? I mean, is that a separate issue from what's going on with the Eclipse cigarette, or do you see it as all one and the same?
Listen, we can argue semantics and old statements and comments and so on for a very long time, but I think the Secretary's comments are very telling. First of all, we invite anyone to look over our research, to look over our science, to discuss with us the standards that we used. We are not afraid of that kind of scrutiny because we believe it fully substantiates the claims that we are making. We are not saying that this is a safe cigarette. The Secretary said that we were. We're not saying that. It's very clear in our marketing materials. I think the most telling comment was when you talked about your wife and the Secretary indicated that she felt it was inappropriate to comment on a critical policy issue here. And that issue is, should these kinds of products, should lower-risk tobacco products be encouraged or discouraged? And the fact is that we do not have a policy on that in this country. And that's a shame because what do you do? There are 45 million adults that smoke in this country. And I'm sorry, but, you know, the smoke-free society by the year 2000 did not come about. There are still 45 million of them. What kind of products do they have to choose among? We believe that Eclipse represents an option for them, a choice. And, you know, we're simply putting out the information that we have on it and offering them the opportunity to make that choice among the choice of other cigarettes or the choice to quit.
All right, we're going to take a short break right now. You're listening to Talk of the Nation. I'm Juan Williams. My guests are Dave Iacco, Don DiBattisi, and Dr. Dilip Ball. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, we'll continue talking about whether Eclipse, the new cigarette developed by the Reynolds Tobacco Company, is in fact a safer cigarette. And we'll take more of your calls at 800-989-8255. If you'd like to join the discussion online, you can surf over to our website at www.npr.org. Click on Your Turn, then scroll down to Talk of the Nation. At 40 minutes past the hour, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the W. Alton Jones Foundation for a coverage of efforts to reduce threats of nuclear war and proliferation, www.wajones.org. The Annie E. Casey Foundation, supporting families and neighborhoods by funding initiatives aimed at helping disadvantaged children. And Raymond James, for over a quarter century providing independent advice to investors throughout the United States. Raymond James, committed to your financial future. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Elian Gonzalez is back with his father, but the Elian saga is far from over. Next month, an appeals court will open hearings on the boy's petition for political asylum. Is a six-year-old child competent to make a claim for political asylum? I'm Juan Williams. Join us to discuss what lies ahead for Elian Gonzalez on the next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Welcome back to Talk of the Nation. I'm Juan Williams. Tune in at this time tomorrow for a look at the South African President Thabo Mbeki's recent comments on AIDS. He infuriated the scientific community when he suggested that HIV does not cause AIDS. His comments also raise larger questions. What is the world going to do about Africa's AIDS epidemic? Today we're talking about a new cigarette being test marketed in a few cities around the country by RJR Reynolds Tobacco. Its developer claims that, quote, it gives a reduced risk of smoking-associated cancers, end quote. My guests are Dave Ioko, Senior Vice President of Marketing, and Don DiBathese, Vice President of Product Evaluation, both at RJ Reynolds, and Dr. Dilip Ball, President-elect of the American Cancer Society. If you want to join the conversation, our number here is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Let's go to Sarah in Laramie, Wyoming. Sarah, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, my question is for the representatives from RJR. I'm curious as how to how the production costs for the Ellipse compare to traditional cigarettes, as well as how the consumer costs compare.
So is it a cheaper cigarette, you want to know?
Yeah, as well as, you know, what does it cost them to produce this cigarette?
Are you a smoker, Sarah?
No, I'm not.
And why does the cost question so important to you?
Well, I guess I'm curious as to what their motives are in some sense. I mean, I don't trust the tobacco industry, but I see some value in producing a lower-risk cigarette for reasons that people have already brought up today, but I guess I'm curious as to whether this is another way for them to make a lot of money or if it's actually more expensive for them.
All right. Well, thanks for your call, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. DiBathese?
I think Dave Ioka has the facts on that.
I can speak to that. It is more expensive to produce Eclipses than our other cigarettes because it is a more complicated design. It does have, Dr. DiBathese mentioned, it has a heat tip on the end, and it requires it's a more complicated process to produce it. The price will be the same as the undiscounted price of other full-price cigarettes on the market like Winston, Camel, Marlboro, and so on.
All right, let's go to Alan in San Francisco. Alan, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, yes. I'm not so concerned about whether people choose to poison themselves with a cigarette or not. I'm more concerned about the environment. Unfortunately, cigarette smokers have shown to be not particularly responsible when it comes to litter laws, and I'm wondering how biodegradable these cigarettes are.
Since they don't go away, they don't burn down.
Right, and somebody's going to fill up an ashtray full of these things pretty fast.
Dr. DiBathese, would you be the right person to answer that question?
Sure. What we have found is that when we've interacted with smokers, they are much more conscious of the cigarette since it doesn't burn down. It's still the same size as other cigarettes, that they dispose of it properly more often than they do the other cigarettes. And when we've talked to people about the contribution to landfills, we find that there is essentially negligible contribution in terms of the total volume going to landfills. So we feel like that there will actually be more inclination to dispose of the cigarette properly since it's the same size as other cigarettes.
Alan in Baltimore, Maryland, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you, Mr. William, for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a doctoral student at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, and I just have a brief comment about the credibility of the tobacco industry. It's well known for twisting of words and using careful semantic arguments, you know, hoping to play on the naivety of the general public, both in the U.S. and globally. If we take the analogy of using, say, seatbelts in vehicles, if we're to suggest as a public health community that seatbelts reduce the risk of death in the event of an accident, it's analogous to saying that using seatbelts while driving is a safer behavior. The earlier argument that the tobacco industry representatives were using, that in fact they're using the terms reduced risk and avoiding the use of the term safer, is really another example of this sort of legalistic lily pad hopping. Because if you look at their most recent publication RJR puts out, they put out a PR magazine called CML, basically an advertisement magazine for Camel cigarettes. It looks very slick and classy as a coffee table publication, but they're careful throughout the magazine to only use the warning label that applies to smoking while pregnant may cause certain health effects. Not one ad in that entire magazine carries a warning of disease or cancer. So we should be all very careful in swallowing whole what this tobacco industry puts out.
All right, thanks for your call,
Mr.
Alan.
Mr. Williams?
Yes, sir. Dr. Ball.
If I may, the last speaker summarized some of the issues very well indeed. Let me tell you what the problem is. If you leave your listenership with the impression that they can reduce their risk of disease as a result of using Eclipse, you would have done them a grave disservice. I think if you notice what Mr. Aoka has said, he has not countered one issue, because each time I come up with a quote, it's a verbatim quote from R.J. Reynolds. Everybody on our side of the issue has said their credibility is extremely poor. Let me just give you one other small instance to show how there is a tremendous amount of cognitive dissonance between what they say and what they do in terms of targeting children. Children might be listening to your program, you know. And in terms of targeting children, they've contended time and again they don't. Internal RJR documents in the Minnesota Depository show, quote, this is quoting RJR, quote, the lower age limit for the profile of young smokers is to remain at 14, unquote. A training that they did. This is not ages ago, like Mr. Aoka is suggesting. This is 3-4 years ago. Training R.J. Reynolds had in Florida. They had a sales rep by the name of Terrence Sullivan. Quote, this is Terrence Sullivan, RJR's man speaking. Quote, we were targeting kids, and I said at the time it was unethical and maybe illegal, but I was told it was just company policy. Unquote. Sullivan remembers someone asking who exactly the young people were that RJR was targeting, junior high school kids or even younger. The reply was, quote, they got lips, we want them, unquote.
Dr. Ball,
this is the ethics of the people who are now coming up with one other piece of fiction.
All right, well, let me try to advance the conversation here. One of the things that I note in both your comments, Dr. Ball, and the comments from Secretary Shalala at Health and Human Services is a reluctance to embrace the notion of a safer cigarette. And of course, you and some of our callers have pointed out that it's hard to split the difference. What is a safer cigarette versus a cigarette that has lower risk? And the representatives here from R.J. Reynolds have been reluctant to even call it a safer cigarette. But aren't there people in your community, the health community, Dr. Ball, who are interested more so than ever in this notion of trying to help people who are smokers smoke a less dangerous cigarette?
Okay, the very minute you begin with the option that some form of a cigarette implies lesser risk, we don't know. So we should target our efforts very strongly on getting people like your wife to stop smoking. There are programs that target different kinds of people, target different ways of getting at them, stop people from starting to smoke in the case of children. The issue is very simply, the minute you say there is some panacea out there, you hold out a hope that is a figment of people's imagination. I will say this, Mr. Aoka has been very, very accurate, as you say. He has not said explicitly that it will reduce your risk, because they are not in a position to say that. They are very limited as to what their lawyers will permit them to say.
Well, let me ask the folks from R.J. Reynolds to respond.
Juan, this really illustrates the debate that's going on now about whether we're going to have a smoke-free society or allow products like this on the market. We have been working recently with the National Academy of Sciences and the Institute of Medicine, because they've been invited by the FDA to study this very question. How do you recognize a safer cigarette when you see one? How do you measure progress? We were invited there to present our four-step methodology that we've developed over the last 15 years for assessing products like Eclipse. This is a very important problem. And we have 45 million American smokers who have a range of tobacco burning products out there to choose from, but they do not have products that heat tobacco, for instance, in any to any large extent. So we have been pushing very hard in the face of this sort of approach of there is no safe cigarette, and therefore you should not even work on one. And yet, if we were to withhold one from the market, we would be criticized for that. So we have been working very hard to put the product on the market with the appropriate claims, getting independent external review. We have very reputable scientists, 3 MDs and 6 PhDs on our expert scientific panel who examined this. They will be publishing their findings in a peer-reviewed journal. And I urge everyone who's listening today to take a look at our website. That website is eclipse.rjrt.com, and all of the science is on there, as well as some of the science critical of Eclipse.
Well, what it sounds to me like is that the conversation is changing, and I wonder if the tobacco companies don't invite that conversation change away from the idea of people stopping smoking or the government removing the ability of cigarette manufacturers to sell their product, but instead talking about this notion of a less risky cigarette. Let me just say
Mr. Williams, may I ask a question?
Sure, hang on a second, Dr. Ball. I need to tell our listeners that I'm Juan Williams, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Dr. Ball, please go right ahead.
Just one question, then a response, if I may, please, sir. May I ask the two gentlemen from R.J. Reynolds, do they smoke?
Yes, I smoke occasionally. This is Dave Iacco.
And this is Don DeBethese. I smoke occasionally.
Okay. Let me just tell you, this is another classic example. You cannot, and this is, again, actors, this is another classic example of how R.J. Reynolds views the world. This is an actor promoting R.J. Reynolds products, asks an R.J. executive why he does not smoke. And you know what the reply was, Mr. Williams?
No.
This is a direct quote.
What did he say?
He says, we don't smoke that stuff. We just sell it. We just reserve the right to smoke for the young, the poor, the black, and the stupid, unquote. It's a direct quote from an R.J. Reynolds actor.
All right. Let's,
that is not true.
All right. Let's go to a call here. Let's go to Mike in Ithaca, New York. Mike, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi there. Thank you. Hi, Dr. Laval and Juan. I won't dignify the other two. I get seriously ill. I was diagnosed by the associate dean of a well-known Ivy League medical school, seriously allergic to 3 tobacco leaf antigens, including nicotine. I get violently ill when people blow through an unlit cigarette. I get violently ill when people tap a cigarette pack against their hand after purchasing it, which is a common behavior. I can't use libraries. I can't use supermarkets. I can't use internet access without getting exposed to these things because people smoke illegally in the bathrooms or in the exits and this and that. And my life is a ruination now, but I get some cooperation from the public because they understand. But when there's a product out there that's going to say that it's safe and it doesn't make smoke, and I lose credibility that this stuff is still affecting me, when I can point to a person 30 feet away through a wall and triangulate his position when he's smoking through a brick wall, that's how sensitive I am.
Right.
And I get very seriously sick, GI symptoms, amnesia problems.
All right, well, Mike,
tumors relapsing, all kinds of bad symptoms.
Let me ask.
I have to say.
Let me ask, thanks for your call, Mike. Let me ask Dr. DeBethese if, in fact, people with allergies would do better with this cigarette.
We don't know. Those studies have not been done. I'm sure people at the medical centers who have been studying Eclipse will be looking into that. But I would say that by heating tobacco, we've reduced the amount of secondhand smoke by 80% from Eclipse.
That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank all of you who called this hour, and especially my guest, Dave Iacco, Senior Vice President of Marketing, and Don DeBethese, Vice President of Product Evaluation, both at R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. They joined us from member station WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Also, Dr. Dilip Ball, President-elect of the American Cancer Society. He joined us from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, California. Thank you for being
with
us.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Dr. Ball. And earlier we spoke with Donna Shalala, Secretary of Health and Human Services. In Washington, I'm Juan Williams, NPR News.